Jonah. That's actually really good listening to up here. I did try another word. I think it is en uno benedizione sere con tutti voi. I hope I pronounced that correctly. You guys might be wondering why I'm holding this here. I did initially think I was going to bring a didgeridoo, but I think the customs and whatnot, I wouldn't have been able to bring it over, so I've used this as a prop. Doesn't sound like a didgeridoo. Is it clear? It might be a little bit clear, but we all know that's incomplete. On its own, it's not forming a melody. It's like a syllable, but not yet a sentence. A star, but not the sky. Among my people, where I'm originally from, in the Solomon Islands, panpipes has a powerful reminder of telling truths. One tube makes only one note, but when many players come together, each blowing their single note in a rhythm, a song is created. Scripture describes the church this way. If we can turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Ephesians 4, verse 16. It reads, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The church is like the panpipes. Each of us has a note, a part to play. Alone, it may seem like we're incomplete, but together in Christ, we become one body, one note, one song, to which is the title of my sermonette. At first, when the players begin, it almost sounds like chaos, scattered notes, no clear direction, and somewhat seems like meaningless noise. But then something happens. As each player listens, times their note, and plays their part, the fragment starts to weave together. What begins as confusion becomes a melody, something bigger, more beautiful, more alive than any one part. That's the power of unity. The melody doesn't belong to just one player. It lives in that space between them in the way that it perfectly fits together. Now I want you to listen for yourself. Obviously, I tried to make that note to be clear, but how these notes come and turn into somewhat of a beautiful song. Due to time constraints, I'm not going to play the whole song, but if you guys are interested in it, I'm happy to share the link. Now, as you can see, the song, which is the church, this is how it's meant to be. Now, to make us further understand this, let's walk through five movements to make this melody. One, the body. Two, discipleship. Three, service. Four, mission. And finally, agape love. To begin, the body. If we can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to begin. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Continuing on in verse 18, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And just a couple more verses down in verse 26. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Brethren, like the panpipes, unity doesn't mean uniformity. Each tube is different. Each player has a role. Together, however, tuned to Christ, the master craftsman, the song comes alive. We each have a purpose in the melody, a calling of discipleship and service. And as Mr. Dean has mentioned in his sermon, we need to understand the purpose, understand the cause, and most importantly, understand the will of God as his disciples, as this is how we are to grow and make this body alive, which then leads into discipleship. We all know a tube or the panpipe out of tune ruins the melody. The same is true with us. Following Jesus means making sure our lives are tuned daily to him, not ourselves. And he makes this clear in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. If you can turn there. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Discipleship is not this one-time decision. It's a daily routine, tuning in. And what does this daily tuning in look like? Well, Jesus tells us this in John chapter 13, verse 35. If we can turn there. John chapter 13, verse 35. He says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, and if you have love for one another." Love is that tuning. Without it, the song collapses. And Paul develops this idea further in Romans chapter 12, verse 4 to 8. You don't have to turn there. And it says that just as the body has many members with different functions, so too in Christ we have different gifts: prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and mercy. But no gift is greater. No note is dispensable. Together they form this harmony. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 15, again, we don't need to turn there. Paul explains that Christ gave leaders, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. True maturity means we are no longer tossed around with every wind, but we grow up in Christ and with Christ, who is our head. So, brethren, discipleship is both personal tuning and somewhat like a corporate harmony. Each believer tunes in daily to Christ, but we must also listen to others so that the melody of the church grows stronger, steadier, and clearer. Which brings me to service. Panpipe music, we know that no one player plays the whole melody. Each player has one note, and the beauty only appears when one plays at the right time. The same is true with the church. And Peter explains this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Brethren, our gifts aren't meant to be for us and then we bury it. They're for one another. And that's why Paul also adds emphasis in it in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Service is not about the spotlight. but it's about that stewardship. Even Christ himself came down and modeled this in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Look, brethren, some will speak, some will serve, some will encourage, some will pray. But the melody only emerges when each plays their part humbly, dependently, and in time with Christ. As mentioned by Mr. Troisi, Andrew, one of Jesus' lesser-known disciples, shows us humility in action. He wasn't talked about like Peter or Paul, but he was faithful. God doesn't choose by worldly rank, but by what's in our hearts. So we have to ask this question, okay? Who are we to ask the question that who's serving, or why are we picked for a task that we're not worthy of? Service then is not about doing everything, but it's by faithfully playing your note for God's glory and for the church's growth, which then leads to the mission. The song of the panpipes is never meant to be for the players alone. We all know that. Imagine playing the song and we're only listening it to ourselves. It's quite dull. If the room fills with just the song and it plays within, no one's listening, but we want everyone to listen. In the same way, life in the church is meant to be like that. It's not meant to be enclosed inside the walls. What God does in us is designed for us to overflow that into the world, somewhat like that light. And Jesus gives us this great commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Our mission is not only about going to grandeur things, going to distant places. Paul reminds us that it is also to shape within us in everyday life. And he makes this mention also, and it's emphasized by this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And it reads, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Our mission is both that personal one and global one. It's about proclaiming that gospel to all the nations, but it's also about how we speak at home, how we speak at work or school, how we treat thy neighbor. Every word, every deed, every act of kindness is a part of this melody of Christ that, well, Christ wants us to push onto the world so they can hear, which then brings us to agape love. At the center of the panpipe song, it's not about just the precision. It's about the relationship, the listening, the yielding, and that creating space for others. That's very important. In the same way, the church is defined by not just skill, gifting alone, but by that love that binds it all together. And Jesus gave us this command in John chapter 13, verse 34. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. A very, very well-known scripture. Agape love, or in Italian, I'm going to try and attempt this, amore altruista. I hope I've pronounced that right. This is the music. This is the music itself. Without love, we just play notes, but there's no song. But with love, the melody is unmistakable. The sound of Christ in his people. That's that love. An example was given to the Corinthian church where they had many gifts and knowledge, yet Paul reminded them that without love, they were just a clanging cymbal. 1 Corinthians 13. it's not about the performance of our gifts that makes music, but it's the spirit of love behind them, as Mr. Caputo was stating, the spirit of love behind it. Peter was writing this as well to that suffering church, which drives home this this point. I'm not going to read the whole text, so I'll leave that due to time constraints to you guys. It's 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 to 18, but he's pretty much emphasizing that all things should be glorified through God and Jesus Christ. Love steadies the church in trial. It transforms service from duty into worship, making every note, no matter how small or big, part of the greater melody that glorifies God. So in conclusion, brethren, what's your note? What's the gift that God has given you? Are you tuned in daily to Christ? Or are you with the distractions of pride and the lust of the flesh? Do you create that space for others to grow, or do you try to play over them? Do you live with faith outward so that others can see that light that God's trying to get us to shine? Brethren, we need to think again that single notes, clear, incomplete, that's how it starts. That is what life looks like. But when we stand together, the melody starts to come out. Every note, every part, every joints are together. That is what God is calling us to do. Each of us has a place in his song. Some louder, some softer, some steady in the background, but all the more essential. And when we are tuned to Christ, bound together in this love, the world hears not us, but him. So let us ask ourselves, what is my note? Am I in tune with Christ? Am I playing my part in love? Because when each of us play our notes faithfully, the melody of God's kingdom is heard. One body, one note, one song.